Chillicothe, Missouri, May 15, 1977. It was graduation day at Chillicothe High School, and no one was happier to get out into the world than Richard Miller. He had turned 18 2 days ago, had quit his job at Cooper's Filling Station yesterday, and tomorrow he would leave Chillicothe for good. All 63 members of his graduating class stood in their gowns and mortarboards on the high school football field, home of the Chillicothe Cavaliers, while the principal droned on about how they would step out into the world to find good jobs in agriculture or manufacturing. The principal regretted that they were too young to get a chance to fight communism in the recent war going on in Vietnam, but warned them that communism still threatened America in the form of hippies, Black Panthers, and social deviants. A couple of guys standing behind Richard snickered, and he felt himself blush. Polite people didn't say homosexual in public, so the principal had used the term social deviant. Richard's classmates weren't so kind. He'd been called everything in the book. Even getting a girlfriend in his junior year hadn't cleaned up his reputation. It didn't matter. In a couple of days, he'd be in New York City. It was his time to start living life. He looked out over the bleachers in the stadium, filled with family and friends and a lot of folks who came out just because there wasn't much entertainment in this town of 10,000 people. Even a high school graduation was a big deal. He spotted his parents, smiling and proud, saw his little sister looking bored, and felt a lump in his throat that his grandfather wasn't there. Grandpa was laid up in a room in the regional hospital and would never walk out. He'd go see Grandpa before he left, that was for sure. It was Grandpa who had encouraged him to leave in the first place. At last the principal finished, and with a cheer the students threw their mortarboards into the air. No one threw his higher than Richard. He walked off the field without bothering to pick it up. The dinner with his family and the beers down by the reservoir with a few friends passed in a blur. He kept up his side of the conversation without really thinking, his mind already 100 miles down the highway. Only after everyone said goodbye for the night did he go to the one spot he would miss in this whole godforsaken country. A mile from the reservoir, he parked his pickup truck on the side of the lonely dirt road far from the highway. The night was dark and clear, stars shining overhead and crickets chirping in the thick woodland. The rising moon cast only a little light, but that was all he needed. He knew the way. He found the path and headed down the slope, eyes and ears sharp for evidence that anyone else was around. Keeping his hands in front of him to avoid getting scraped by low-hanging branches, Richard made his way down to Hanson's stream. It was a stream that fed the town reservoir, as well as his juvenile fantasies, throughout adolescence. There was a small hydroelectric dam built in the 1920s, that had created a pond before the water rushed out the other side and meandered through another mile of Missouri woodland, eventually emptying into the reservoir. Generations of Chillicothe boys had made that pond their swimming hole. Boys, but not girls, because this was a place for skinny dipping. He'd first come here at age 12 with his friends, pedaling down the long country road on their bikes. Some older boys were already there, swimming and roughhousing in the water. Richard and his friends gleefully stripped down and dove in. He loved the feel of the water on his bare skin, and felt a new and exciting type of freedom swimming with his friends like this. In his childish innocence, he never questioned why he kept looking at all the other boys. The answer came on another visit a couple of years later. He and his friends had brought a ball and were playing their own version of water polo, which mostly involved wrestling with one another instead of actually trying to score a goal.